This is News in No Time. Ed Gordon on today's roundtable. President Bush says race was not a factor in how he responded to Hurricane Katrina. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Joining us today to discuss these topics and others from our headquarters in Washington, D.C., Republican strategist Tara Settmeyer. At our bureau in New York, Walter Fields, CEO and publisher of the NorthStarNetwork.com, and George Curry, editor-in-chief of the National Newspaper Publishers Association News Service, joins us from Maryland today. All right, folks, the president is getting out more. We're seeing speeches. He's making his word from his mouth heard from people around the country. He's also giving a bit more access to some in the media. I stress some. He spoke with NBC's Brian Williams earlier this week, and they talked about the idea of the concern that many had that had Katrina happened in Utah or Rhode Island, that the response would have been different, insinuating that, in fact, race, class, and other issues may have played a factor in the response time. Here's what the president said when asked that by Brian Williams.
You know, a couple of people, said Bush didn't respond because of race, because he's a racist, or alleged that. That is absolutely wrong, and I reject that. Frankly, that's the kind of thing that you can call me anything you want, but do not call me a racist.
All right, Tara Settmeyer, we hear it in the president's voice. His ire are up from that. Obviously, he's been hearing that. He says he doesn't read much of the news accounts about his presidency, but we know that, in fact, he is told, if nothing else, what's going on out there, and that clearly has his ire up.
Well, sure. I mean, this president has endured personal attacks from the black community and liberals claiming that he's a racist. He doesn't care about black people, and songs being made about this. And it is unfair. I mean, this president has done nothing to demonstrate that he is a racist. I mean, that's a charge that unfortunately is leveled far too often in times in areas where it isn't warranted. And with this president, it's not warranted. But what he did admit during that segment, he said at least three times that I counted that I take responsibility for the federal response, for the lack of the efficiency of the federal response. I take responsibility. I'm responsible. And I think that's something that a lot of people overlooked, something that people have wanted, because they say that this president is entirely too obstinate. He doesn't admit mistakes made. And in this case, he clearly admitted that there were mistakes made, and that he's responsible ultimately as the president of the United States.
Walter Fields, he clearly suggested that he was going to take the heat for the federal response. He went on to say, in terms of the Gulf region, that it wasn't just, and not in these words, but the idea was there, it wasn't just the black section of the Gulf region that didn't receive the attention it should have. That being said, we are hearing from this president, I think, a bit more fight in him in terms of answering critics.
Well, that's because of, look at his poll numbers. I mean, I think Republicans have been very successful in diffusing sort of a racial critique in a very calculated and deceptive strategy of doing just enough to inoculate the party from charges of being racist. And it's almost too easy to call Bush a racist. You know, I think the focus on the president really blinds us to the systemic roots of racism. You know, it's embedded in institutions. And if you look at previous administrations' policies and the outcomes impacting blacks, I think all of them have fallen short in terms of the equity issue. But I think Katrina really brought it into focus. So while I can't speak to the president's leanings one way or the other, I do think that racism played a significant role in the institutional response to the Katrina disaster. And I disagree with the president when you start talking about the overall impact, because it's clear that in an area of New Orleans that was predominantly black, that was the most vulnerable floodplain in the city, nothing was done whatsoever. And I do think there would have been a different outcome had it been a middle-class white community that was in that lower ninth ward. I think we would have seen a different level of response by the federal government. So for me, it's not a question of whether the president is personally racist. It's a question of whether institutions in this country are aligned in such a way that their impact is racist.
But George Curry, that's one of those questions that can never be answered because you just don't know. The president certainly has that to stand on. And if you juxtapose the other regions, as he's suggesting, rural areas that were predominantly white, they have, while not receiving the same kind of media attention or coverage, they have the same complaints.
Well, I think it's productive to say that whether Bush is a racist or not. I don't know whether he is or not. I do know that his policies are certainly hurting African Americans, people of color. I know that when you look at his tax distribution in terms of how it favors the wealthy, or you look at his stance and action on affirmative action opposing both the University of Michigan cases while talking a different kind of language, when you look at his judicial appointments, across the board, these are things that are certainly obnoxious to the majority of the African American community. But I do think it's wasting time to discuss whether he's a racist. It doesn't matter. I'm looking at his action, not what he really is.
Tara, George, pick up on that point, yeah. The idea that George suggests that, you can give a pass to the individual George Bush, but many in the black community do feel the policies that come out of this administration do not help the bulk of black America.
You know, that's just absolutely not true. Categorically not true. And unfortunately, I've said this many times over the years, that the Republican Party and the administration do not do a very good job of promoting the policies that do, in fact, help African Americans. I mean, the home ownership is up. I mean, I sound like a broken record. African American home ownership is up historically. The tax cuts are not just for the wealthy. I mean, it's old news already. Enough with that. Everyone benefits from the tax cuts, including low-income Americans who are impacted the most. Pell Grants and financial aid to historically black colleges is increased. I mean, we can go on and on about that, but there's something else that I want to address. You know, it's interesting that no one seems to take to task the state and local governments in New Orleans, in Louisiana, and how dysfunctional those governments were. Where is the responsibility of the state and local government to make sure that their folks are taken care of?
Well, I don't think anybody's given anyone a pass down there who was involved in it, to be honest with you, Tara. But I think, you know, if you're the big gorilla in the room, people give you the attention. But I think that all involved have suggested that none of the response from local to state to federal was what it should have been.
But they're not calling the governor of Louisiana a racist, and she was clearly inept during her response, and she may have been more responsible for the lives being lost than the president or FEMA.
I think you can look at the state. And I think you can hold everyone responsibility. And I think I would take issue with your description of the Bush administration's policies, because even though black homeownership may be on the rise, also predatory lending is on the rise, impacting black people, and how mortgage companies have abused black homeowners. So let's not act like the Bush administration has done so well by black people. And for the president to sort of defend himself personally, you know, is akin to this notion that some of my best friends are black. Let's be clear about where black people are in this country right now, and it's not in a good place. So when you start looking overwhelmingly at the black community, you still look at poverty, if you still look at issues affecting children in this country, this administration hasn't done a thing.
So black unemployment is lower than it's been in the last 30 years.
Black male unemployment is still twice that of whites.
Well,
where do you find
issue.
Good science in New
All right,
York
let me take
City,
us to something else, because as we found in this in this debate, we can go on and on and on with comparing the numbers. And quite frankly, you can do just about anything you want with numbers on either side. So let's look at yet another number, though, as I try to get us away from numbers. And that is that George Bush's numbers in the polls have gone up over the course of the last few weeks. A new USA Today CNN Gallup poll shows his approval rating, in fact, is up to 42% of the respondents approving of the way that the president is handling his presidency. That's a 5% jump from his record low of 37%. So, George Curry, do you believe that this travel that the president has done over the course of the last couple of weeks and him getting out and pushing back is helping him?
Perhaps some. I'm kind of reminded when I used to cover Jesse Jackson's 84 presidential campaign, he used to always say, you know, you can't fall off the floor. I mean, Bush had no way to go but up. I mean, but I do think that the reports on the economy and the drop in gas prices particularly, and he's trying to be a little more, well, like I said, a lot more specific on Iraq, I think that that's all helped him. But I mean, but the underbelly, the underlining opposition and feeling of distrust is still there.
Tara?
Well, This president's numbers, I mean, everyone is saying how this is historic lows and X, Y, and Z. I mean, Ronald Reagan's numbers dropped considerably to, I believe, down to 35%. President Clinton was down to 37% as well during his second term. I mean, we are not that concerned. This president has three more years to go.
But President Clinton was facing impeachment at that point.
Well, that's true. But at the same time, all of the negative coverage of the Iraq war and the disastrous fall that the president has had between the Katrina response and rising gas prices and the negative coverage of the war, all of those things combined were several hits that led to the president's low poll ratings. And I also think that the communication strategy was one that didn't allow the president to get out there and state his case. When he does that, when he speaks in very definitive terms, which is what he's done lately with his speeches, people can relate to that. They understand what's going on, and it makes sense. Yes, the economy is doing well, but people don't hear that. You're always told, well, the economy, you know, gas prices are rising, and nobody hears that this is one of the strongest economies we've had in 5 years. All the jobs that are being created, this isn't heard. When you have the
That's
coverage,
not true.
Well, yes, it is. When you have the coverage, the Media Research Center just did a study that shows that there were 1,300 stories done on the Iraq war, and only 8 stories were told of how the American military were portrayed as heroes.
Let me respond to that. Let me respond to that. But first of all, I can cite studies, fair among them, that show the administration is overrepresented when it comes to all these talk shows. And also, it's really disingenuous to talk about his low ratings with compared to Reagan and Clinton when Clinton was being impeached and Reagan was caught up in Iran-Contra. And you don't have a similar scandal. Not yet.
In the Bush administration.
And so, but hold on, Tyron, I interrupt you. And so his numbers are there because of a reason. It's a disenchantment with a disapproval of him. And it's not because they have any lack of access to the media. Please don't believe
well,
that.
Well, let me bring this in when we talk about, hang on. Let me bring this in when we talk about where people are. Here's a story of senior citizens who are being charged with selling their prescription drugs in the streets in order to try to make up for what they have seen as a reduction in Social Security dollars and pension and the like. Walter Fields, you have been one in New York City, I know for a fact, who has dealt with this kind of issue where cuts have, in fact, been debilitating to families, not just seniors. Talk to me about this kind of story.
Well, we're seeing families devastated. I mean, what we're seeing in this country is really, you know, the erosion of any notion of equity, particularly for working class Americans. So the notion of celebrating 42% approval ratings as an achievement, I think, is silly. I mean, it's like the D student getting a D plus and being happy about it. If this is the best we can do as a presidency, then I think we should just call it a day. There is massive dislocation that is happening with this economy that Tara keeps telling us is booming. I don't know where she is. Come to New York City. 43% of black men are jobless in New York City. We're not talking unemployed. We're talking jobless. Look at the dysfunction that's going on across this country. So this notion that the economy is booming and that all these jobs are being created, unless they're being created on K Street right around the White House, I don't know where they're being created because I don't.
George
see
Curry,
them in
here's
New York
the interesting
City.
Point to this story. This story of seniors selling prescription drugs on the aftermarket within the streets is happening in Appalachia, in Kentucky, where senior citizens have been charged. The numbers are growing tremendously. So here is a region of white poor Americans. If you juxtapose that to the Gulf Coast region where we saw the face of poverty to black America, it really does seem that America, whether it be the administration or America in general, is blind to the poor and the poverty that is still too rampant in this country.
And the poverty rate has been increasing over the last 4 years. I mean, this is a sad story. It's a sad story when you've got senior citizens selling their medicines in order to try to eke by in terms of getting a life. And that, I think, underscores this problem more than anything, that we're at that point in this country, the richest countries on the face of the earth, when this is what we have to resort to with our seniors. And I think it's sad, and people can't deny it, and they can't pretend it's an isolated case, because this is the face of poverty.
Tara, take it away from the Bush administration in its totality. And look at, because I don't want to get caught up in the numbers, but look at what the country is or is not doing for America's poor when you hear a story like this.
Well, this story was disturbing no matter how you look at it. Nobody wants to hear that an 89-year-old woman was arrested and thrown in jail for selling her prescription drugs. I didn't read in the story that they were selling their drugs in order to eat, but this just... You know, it's interesting to me how liberals always use the old people are starving argument when they talk about we're not doing enough. I mean, Congress passed a $535 billion Medicare package that has ballooned unbelievably. They're putting money into this for prescription drugs, prescription drug benefits. What, you know, even though I agree that the way it was put together is inefficient and that we could probably do it for less money, but we need to really consider a different approach in a public policy perspective on how can we best utilize federal funding to offset costs in healthcare. And so, you know, I have yet to hear what solution that the liberals have. I would like to hear what George has to say. What more do you think that we could do? I mean, we're spending the money, but yet it's still not getting to the people. Obviously, it's still not getting to the people who need it most.
Well, the first thing,
George,
I would say is...
She threw down the gauntlet. We've got about a minute left.
Okay, the first thing I'm going to say is for you to admit, not misquote what happened in Appalachia. You said you did not read. I don't know what you've been reading. Now, let me give you a direct quote that people are doing this for food.
The background
in fact,
story that I was
said,
given.
Let me do your own research. The jailer said, and this is a direct quote, that they're taking $10 pills and they just use half of it for themselves and sell the other half to pay their electric bills or buy groceries. It can't be any plainer than that.
And I would invite Tara to come to New York City. I'll give you a tour of poverty.
I grew up in North Jersey too.
But I don't think you've been through parts of New York
where people are
starving. You know, the notion that, you know, this is a story and that somehow or another there's not real implications here is really offensive. And if you really want to know what the federal government can do, we can begin to treat Americans humanely. We have a country that is allowing people to starve. We're having a country that is allowing children to suffer simply because people want to get on a political soapbox and make these grand statements about what level of responsibility. All levels of government should be responsibility.
So,
our president should be responsible.
Unfortunately, guys, I got to stop it there. Tara Settmeyer, Walter Fields, George Curry, thanks so much for joining us. Greatly appreciate it. Always spirited with the three of you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.